Hello, champions, and welcome to the What's My Role podcast, episode 8. We're a group of adventurers exploring the many realms of World of Warcraft and MMOs, sharing our experiences, learning our roles together, and embracing the chaos. I'm Bean, and I'm joined by Donix.
Hey.
GT Goat.
Hey.
Golden.
Howdy.
And Bindo Viper.
K-Pasa, Skipper.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about our experiences playing in LFR for the first time since we've been back. We're going to discuss our thoughts on the MDI tournament that's going on, and we're going to talk about the Magma Shell mount that we recently sought out. But first, how's everybody doing today?
Doing quite all right.
Can't complain, man. Can't complain.
Tired.
Birthday today.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Golden.
You're finally 21, right, dude.
No, he's finally old enough to drink.
Finally 21.
I'll have to take you to the gas station so you can buy a lotto ticket later today.
My first pack of cigarettes.
Oh, wow.
I'll get you one of them scratch offs.
There we go.
Spend $2 for $1.
Let's see. Channel updates. So we're not doing Questline Chronicles anymore. So we're kind of steering away from Let's Play style content. And I think it's because we decided we are just having more fun doing Mythics. So that's kind of where we're going to focus our energy. So it'll make for better content if we're doing stuff we enjoy. God damn, I drank this tequila too fast.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So we will be streaming once War Within releases. So that's going to kind of fill the void that Questline Chronicles had left behind, I think. It'll kind of have that same kind of feel where we're goofing off together. And we're also going to start getting into raiding, and we're going to be having alt nights more often, and we're going to start growing our mount collections.
That's right. So in WoW news, right? We got Hearthstone's 10-year anniversary starting March 11th. You can log in for free Fiery Heart Hearthsteed mount. Also, Hearthstone encounters in capital cities that earn special rewards in Hearthstone as well. I actually don't have that mount yet, but I think, Bean, you have it, right? Did you pick up the one from...
Not the Fiery Hearthsteed one. That one doesn't start until March 11th, but there is a... It's like Sarge's tail, I think you get. It's like a mouse.
Oh, okay.
Little mouse mount that you can get by playing... It's like the mercenary board in Hearthstone. It's really quick and easy. I did it in 15 minutes, and you get a free mount for it, so... Well, we'll be doing a video on that as well, or it might just be included in like a here's 10 mounts video type thing.
Also in WoW news, we've got WoW Hardcore starting February 29th. So you got permadeath, no trading, mail or auction house. So I haven't really looked into that at all. This is the first time I'm really hearing about it.
Is that still classic? Because I know they got Hardcore on Classic. Are they doing retail as well?
No, it's Hardcore Classic still, but it's... The self-found mode is what's new about it, starting February 29th.
And gotcha.
There's no trading. There's no auction house. There's no kind of getting any items other than what you loot yourself.
Everything is soulbound.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
That's kind of cool. I mean, PoE, I played Path of Exile a bunch with a solo self-found. And it's intense. Like, that group is hardcore. On top of the permadeath, that's crazy, man.
Oh, so this self-found mode isn't like a WoW original thing? This is something that's been done?
No, so Path of Exile, which is more or less like Diablo 2.5, they've done permadeath, of course, hardcore, like, and Diablo has done that too. But they did what's called solo self-found, where Path of Exile is all about like being able to trade and get your stuff traded around. And being able to like get your own gear and like get yourself built up to be the best possible is pretty impressive, actually. So I'm curious to see how WoW goes. I'm curious how it works on like raids or five mans. Like, I'm assuming you roll need or greed on your shit, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, some people might be getting a lot more lucky than other people as far as needing and greeding. I think we have someone in this room that might know about that. Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later, though.
It's a little salt in the air. We've also So WoW news, we also have the Lunar Festival being over, and Love is in the Air is over. at the end of the month, right?
It's
when does it actually end?
The 19th? Is that when
okay.
it ends? Oh, hold on. I've got it right here. I just need to actually use my brain and see. Yep. February 19th is the last day for Love is in the Air.
Gotcha.
So,
it's a
yeah.
very long dungeon to get the mount, so make sure you dedicate lots of hours to it.
Oh, yeah. It takes so long to queue up and kill three dudes.
Yeah.
we should probably do that again tonight before that ends. So, because
yep.
I've seen some people saying they've been trying to get that damn love rocket for like 10 plus years or something.
Yeah. Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Crazy, yeah.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and get into the main topics, which was the LFR, MDI, and mount collecting. So we have finally jumped into LFR. Me, Golden, and GT Goat this week. So Donix was out of town, and
yep.
Bindo Viper, I think you've just kind of been busy yourself, so it was just us three. Yep. So we decided to jump into LFR and see what it was all about. It wasn't really planned. It was like a spur of the moment thing. So I was on my tank, my protection paladin. And then Golden, you were running your resto shaman, right?
Yep. Yep.
And then Goat was running his
that was
death.
Like me being me. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was fun. I wasn't really even expecting that to happen, but it happened. So what did you guys think about that experience?
What they all say.
What raid did you guys run? Did you? Because you could do like four different wings. I'm curious which ones you guys ran.
I got you. We did, I'll tell you right Same now, time. Actually. So we did all the wings for Mir Drasil, the Dream's Hope. So we pretty much knocked out that whole raid. At least in LFR.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't know if it's the design choice of where they're starting you off when you do LFR, but it goes fast. It's honestly probably just as quick as doing a dungeon. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like with a mythic plus.
I feel like it's probably quicker, but
yeah, or even quicker. It's pretty quick, man. And I got four gear upgrades.
Yeah.
Like all just in two nights. It was nuts. Dude, I got new gloves, new boots, new shield.
Jeez, listen to him talk and brag about.
Wait, is there, what else? I think that was it.
not the flaunt.
Not that the healer is for the betterment of the group, right? Let's not forget that. Let's all just be jealous that I got gear.
I was the tank that had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah.
I didn't even have time to look up like mechanics. I was just like, I'm tanking.
Yeah.
This is happening.
It was all really good. I think all of it was really good. It's just that when you do the wing, it's Fate of a Mir Drasil. You kill, I think it was Sage Swift was the first boss.
Yeah.
Or when you're fighting him, you have to fly around. And I guess there's like rifts that are in the sky.
Yes.
And unless you're like looking for that, I don't know how this raid works.
Dude.
Yeah, you get lost. So
you gotta pick up the feathers. Then you got to go fly and mount up. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So we didn't know how what the hell we were doing. And so that was a little confusing. But other than that, it was really smooth. It was a really good way to gear up at least one of our alts.
Yeah, for some of us. No, it was fun, though. It was cool. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was just doing my rotation and trying to aim the boss away. I didn't really know any of the mechanics, but it was still fun. It was cool. I did get like one piece. I think I got a neck piece for my paladin. But what did you think of it, GT?
A learning experience for me. Like I said, it's the first time I really run through one of those for something specific.
How did you feel it compared to like the mythic dungeons that we've been doing? Because it's similar, but it's different.
Mythic dungeons, specifically this one, you are. On the ground, and this one you're in the air, and not clue of what you need to do once you take off. Probably should have had more information brought to
yes.
on that one, but since we've done it once, we can run you all through it pretty quick. Don't worry, know the ins and outs.
Yeah, I think the issue there was you had probably ran into a couple of mechanics that like were one shot mechanics, So you got brought down.
I ran into two of them.
Like towards the end of the fight. And then Golden had to revive you. And I was just following where everybody else was going. So I think that was a big part of why we didn't know where to go.
Yeah.
I think if we get into it with a little bit more knowledge of what's going on, be even more fun.
Well, that's actually the cool thing about LFR is all the things that are happening in LFR versus normal are almost the exact same, but LFR is a lot more forgiving. So like something that would normally do like 80% of your health, which is like you're almost dead, and then any other little AoE would take you out. LFR will do like 50% of your health, and so you can survive it a little easier. It's a little everything's a little neutered. It's not easy, but it's pretty simple in comparison. But if you can understand the mechanics that go on. You go into normal and you're like, cool, I got this. I've done this boss.
A little bit more prepared for it, yeah. Is there any mechanics that are not present in LFR, do you know?
I think LFR neuters maybe one thing. So I know I didn't do a ton of LFR back in the day, but I know normal to heroic was like there was a pretty drastic like one or two mechanics that would get added. And then mythic would almost completely change the boss. Like going from heroic, which is tough, to mythic was like, this boss used to be just like a tank and spank. Now it's like you have to do this, and this in order to be able to make it work.
It's literally like the dungeons. It's the same concept from regular to heroic to
mythic. Yeah. Or mythic plus, I guess. I was glad that we were finally able to get into some of that content, even if we were kind of like running around like chickens with their heads cut off. But
we're getting a feel for it.
Every time you run LFR, you're going to see at least 25% of the people doing that because nobody knows what they're doing. It's their first time there.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. I'd never felt pressured at all. Nobody was like talking shit or anything in the chat. Everyone was just like, we're running this. We're doing it. There's some guy who is making sure everybody ate some food before each fight, too. So that was nice.
I'm not losing again.
But it was a fun time. Any memorable or funny moments that you guys had during that?
First time I did LFR, that first boss before Fryak or whatever his name is, the one where you have to like jump to three different platforms to fight him.
I think that's Tendril Sage Swift.
Yeah, I didn't realize you had to have the feather to get the flying. And so like I saw everybody else mount up, so I mounted on my flying mount, but it was like a ground mount at the point. So I ran and jumped off the edge and just fell and died. It's like, what the?
Yeah, well, it's like different. You wouldn't expect to have to like pick up the feather.
Yeah, I'm on my mount. Let me fly, baby. You can't trim my wings.
For real, especially since we've gotten so used to the whole dragon flying. We'll be getting into more of that. I think me and Golden specifically probably need to both get used to the raids as both tanks. Because I feel like that'll help us in the future to where we both know the mechanics. Yeah. We have teamwork between each other. We can kind of guide the rest of the group with us.
Got my Mistweaver almost up there. I can join Donix in healing.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, then that's two out of five healers?
Yeah, usually if you have two healers, two tanks, and then six DPS is kind of the normal 10-man makeup.
Yep.
Okay, we'll move on to the MDI and what everybody thought of that.
Dude. Those motherfuckers are crazy.
Yeah.
I'm watching it's nuts. The craziest strats where they're like, let's group stealth past the most craziest shit. Let's pull literally everything and then LOS it around a corner and then just... And they cycle through all their like stuns, AoE stuns and movements and just like pound, 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 get it all down because it's the same AoE damage, whether you have 10 guys or 20 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, having a tank that'd be able to do that, having a healer that can do that, having the DPS that can just shear that down, man, it's super impressive. Watch them doing a 22,
23s. Yeah, it's awesome.
It was really cool to see how the different routes, like just the craziness, the shortcuts they would take. Like the one that I think all the teams went left on Ataldazar, right? They all went left.
There was one team that kind of, they were doing it in a different order, I think.
Yeah.
One team did Risen first, but then
I saw a bunch of them do Risen second. They would do the healer person first with the blood stuff, and then they'd jump. Take fall damage to Risen.
Yeah, well, and they'd have the warlock will like place the gate up top.
Yeah,
and then jump
that's
down
so slick.
And I was like, when I saw that, I was like, holy shit, that's so smart. I would never have fucking thought of that on my own.
No, I thought that was really cool, seeing how they cut through in Everbloom, how they cut through in A Tall Desire. Not necessarily strats that we would be trying to do right now, I think, you know, but like definitely things to consider in the future. I was looking at a lot of the mob types on A Tall Desire that are left, and there's definitely like, you're taking on some other type of challenges when you go left instead of going going right.
Yeah, there were some mobs I didn't even recognize over there.
Yeah, like confessors that heal, and they also they can put out it. It makes all of the other trash mobs like unaffected by control ability, or you know what I'm talking about, like the control effects.
Yeah,
yeah, which is just gnarly, man. Just crazy watching them go. So fast.
Was it part one or part two of the what's it called? The Dawn of the Infinite or whatever it is?
Merzant's Rise?
Yeah. Or Galakrond's Fall. I think it was the Rise, but it's the one with all the like RP stuff at the end that you have to activate. They were having their one or two of their DPS fall. Would like run forward while they're tanking to activate the RP, then come back, help kill, and then they'd move through the RP without having to wait for it.
Yeah, it's like so smart because that's time that you're just going to be standing there anyway. So why not start that sooner?
Yep.
I really like how some of the groups do like the mobs into a boss pool as well to save time.
Yeah, that's they pull a whole pack right to the boss and just cleave them down.
Yeah, maybe a lot more difficult on fortified weeks, but tyrannical weeks, what we have right now, be easy pool.
Yeah, and it was also good to see. I saw on Waycrest Manor, some of them pretty much did the same exact route that we were doing.
Yeah.
We kind of just organically discovered that was our fastest way to go through it.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked out pretty good.
Those no healer runs were insane. Absolutely insane.
I couldn't believe how they were like, I mean, the tank can more or less keep themselves up, which is crazy to me, but whatever. But like everybody else keeping up and just not taking any tiny bits of damage.
Yeah.
What was it?
That's some serious coordination, man.
Yeah. Was it Dogs that did Darkheart Thicket with no healer?
Was it Darkheart Thicket?
No, they were the people they were going against also did no healer. Like it was a double did no they? Healer run. They were fighting each other. I was like, how?
Dude,
was
those dogs the one that did insane.
Everbloom too?
So they did Everbloom first. Without a healer. And then I think they both teams, Dogs and not some seriousness. Who did Dogs go against?
It was the Wolves?
Dire Wolves.
Yeah.
Dire Wolves. I think they both did a four DPS run on that. That was crazy. Crazy.
The Altazar one was really good too. The no healer run on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, super impressive seeing like these like pros and like the routes and the choices they make and some of the pools they do. It's really like something to kind of aspire to be able to do that kind of stuff.
I think the crazier part was the team makeups and how oddly different they were. Like obviously warlocks help on certain things, but like they were like battle reses are nice because of course getting someone back up and running is huge. So druids, death knights, stuff like that are a huge deal, but having mobility, having the utility you need for certain things, it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I think it can mess with your perspective too, right? Like it makes you feel like, man, I want to do all those things that they're doing to make my time go faster, right? But at the same time, like they're at a point where they're clearing in, you know, these mythics like in 10 minutes, in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And so it's just highly, highly optimized. So it's not that we can't get through it and get to, you know, 15s or a 20 with what we have. It's just like, man, you see all those tools that you didn't really know about or you knew about individual ones, but to see it all together at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Well,
they're fully geared up. They've done 25 pluses like consistently within time. They were doing 11 minute timers on some of those, which is just absolutely nuts. So
sub 10 to Altazar.
Yeah.
That was insane.
They're running these dungeons day in, day out, hour in, hour out. So they're very familiar with what they're doing. and they're comfortable. They know exactly what they need to do and exactly what time they need to do, how long the retimers are for stuff like
that.
I mean, it's why they're the pros, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why they're the best of the best.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's something that we couldn't do. It's just, you know, we're just getting into this. So I do aspire to hopefully one day be able to play that well to be able to, like, compete. But, I mean, even if I don't, I'm fine. I still am motivated to try and get better and better and better.
Right.
Know?
Yeah, I'm still making a warlock.
You should grab a resto druid while you're at it, too.
Yeah, that's another topic, is like watching all these like compositions is kind of like, I think it's inspired a lot of us to want to, I want to play this class now. I want to play this class. I want to.
I've never seen any more fire mages in my life.
Well, it's all about utility. I mean, if you look at all their specs and classes they're using, it's all about utility, which, I mean, it makes sense of why they're running Resto Druid. Resto Druid has more utility. Mm-hmm. Warlock, they might not be the best DPS, but they have a ton of utility. It's a different aspect. It's, you know, at the beginning, you're kind of looking at, okay, what if I'm running DPS, what's the best DPS to run to just pump out numbers? You kind of forget about those mechanical, you know, utilities that are super handy.
Yeah, well, you'll kind of like reach a wall where like it's like you can DPS so much, or you can have this certain set of abilities and things that will allow you to pull off these techs that the pros are like coming up with. So it really kind of opens your eyes to like, I have all these abilities on this character, but maybe I'm not using them to their, you know, maximum capability. Yeah. I'm not like fully unlocking the set of abilities that I have.
Just to make you feel better, currently in Amir Drasil, Demonology is number 2 and Destruction Warlock's number 5 in top DPS.
Oh, wow. Shit.
You're not making a
sounds
bad character.
Like,
well, yeah. Well, you know what? Good. There's actually a lot of characters that kind of, it's kind of like that. Like, some are really good for Mythic Plus. Like, I've watched a lot of videos that say, Demon Hunter, Vengeance Demon Hunter, it's so great for Mythic Plus, right? Well, apparently, from things I've watched, they're not that sought after in raid. It's just that their utilities that are utilities that are so good in small groups just really aren't that effective. You get a lot more benefits with, like, you know, prop pally, or you know what I mean.
Well, your movement and your AOE is massive for your 5-man, which is what mythics are all about. Half the time you're not even tanking; you're just doing damage as much as possible, which is where they do well. So, like, in 5-man mythics right now, Havoc Demon Hunter, the DPS spec for Demon Hunter, is the number one spec, because you just do so much AOE damage. It's bananas. Yes.
Well, it's also the sigils. The sigils are huge. Yeah. I have two silences. I have two fears.
Yeah, then you're able to lock down those abilities pretty well.
So it lets me pull in those big groups, and then I just trade through the different interrupts that I have. And then that way we can just DPS and DPS. And then they also have I forgot what the name of the ability is, but it's a 2 or 3 second interrupt as well. And it's an AOE. I just pop it, explodes, and you know what I mean? And then I still have my single target interrupt. There's a lot of utility that's really beneficial in Mythic Plus with them. But yeah, it's just not the same in raid.
Yeah, and then I'm over here like sometimes not even meeting your damage and only being able to kick like every 8 seconds.
Are you subtlety or assassination? I just forget.
I'm assassination.
Yeah, that's number 17 on Mythic DPS route. Ooh. Outlaw's number 4 though.
Yeah, I did see that.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, Outlaw's rotation's insane.
Well, Outlaw has there's a bit of relying on your roll the bones, and then
it's an RNG with the roll the bones.
Yeah,
but there's also a ton of like high movement and kind of control with it too. So.
Yeah, which I don't even know like what kind of utility the other specs bring to the table that I'm not with assassination, but with season 4 just starting pretty soon here, and then War Within coming up, I feel like we're in a really good position to kind of experiment with classes and kind of figure out what we want to do moving forward with War Within and upcoming seasons there.
The one class I was kind of surprised to see that a lot of teams are running, and it may just because I'm not like up to speed on what's great at higher keys, but Shadow Priest, that seemed kind of weird to me because Shadow Priest has been kind of in the tank this expansion.
Shadow Priest has as of the last expansion and this one, they got a big buff to the way they AoE, and there's a lot of work to make it do right, but once you do it, your AoE damage is massive. And as you saw in those MDIs, they're pulling 5 pulls at a time. It's absolutely crazy, but yeah, you just need to push out tons and tons of damage, and then Shadow Priest has at least one AoE stun, if not two, which
I think they have one.
Yeah.
But it's just never like, even when we were running, just like, you know, if we're pugging or stuff, like, you don't see Shadow Priest. It's just, it was kind of weird.
Yeah. That's true. I was going to ask Goat, how are you feeling about Frost EK? Are you still feeling Frost EK, or have you thought about Unholy or what?
I'm still feeling it. It's just, like I said, just getting used to the rotations and having to move and paying attention to he's about to do this. It is just one of those learning processes. Because you got to think, I started from beginner, then jumped immediately to level 70 and running mythics and everything else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've only had it for like a week now, haven't you?
About a month. Not the Death Knight.
Not the max level Frost EK.
Yeah,
just I think a few that's weeks. Maybe been a week, maybe two. Yeah.
2 weeks, I think.
And we didn't even really get to use it very much this last week. So,
because you gotta remember, like in the beginning section, you're just like, oh, let me jump backwards a few steps.
Yeah, it's a whole learning process, bro. But I mean, the more you do it, the more you get the swing of it.
I think it's really cool to see MDI show up recently. That it used to be like, at least for WoW like competitive wise, it used to be raid pushing, and it was cool to see the raid push. Like, it's cool to see who can get the first down of so and so when a new raid releases, which is fun to watch. It's definitely worth Twitch watching, or whatever streaming services use them. But watching MDI is cool because everybody does mythics, and the mythics don't change besides just getting harder. And so watching them do cool strategies that you just never used to, it's just something that gives you the chance to, like, outside of you just running the same dungeon over and over going, what am we doing wrong? What can we do better? Seeing them do, outside of the crazy, ridiculous strats, just seeing them do something that you'd be like, oh, I see how this person did this. It's a really good way to improve your form. It's impressive.
Yeah, it kind of shows like the pinnacle and then the out of the box thinking and techs and stuff.
Well, they've been doing like the PvE esports stuff for a little bit now, but it's never been as big as like the arena events or PvP stuff. It's kind of cool. It seems like it's definitely getting a little more more noise on the YouTube and on their website than it used to.
I don't think I've ever seen any MDI stuff before, but I've never really looked for it until now, so I don't know how much it's been put out before or not.
It's been going on for a little bit. I used to, when I was playing WoW, I would watch the MDI.
Yeah.
I want to say, I might be wrong, but I could have sworn I was watching it in BFA. And in Shadowlands, I know I was watching the MDI.
Yeah, because I think Mythic showed up in BFA, right? Like, I don't think they were there in Legion.
There were mythics, Mythic Plus in Legion, because that's when I started doing, I think. Man, maybe you're right. Maybe it was BFA.
I'm pretty sure they had mythics in Legion, and I almost want to say WoD.
Yeah, they released mythics just as a new version, but then they started like keying mythics, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know at least in I know for a fact Shadowlands. I was watching their runs. I think, was it Sanguine Depths or what was, there was one.
That was the one where you, like, you finished on the, like, balcony.
On that,
statues that jump around. Yeah.
Because I remember watching them run that and just being amazed.
Dude, some of those dungeons. I hated Shadowlands Mythics, by the way, so.
I skipped Shadowlands.
Raids were fun. But.
We did a little bit of those.
Yes.
I know there was that one Kyrian one that had like a really, really difficult ending.
Oh, because we were up on that platform way up in the sky. Yeah, and then there's like kind of like almost a bullet hell element,
and then there's a part where you gotta like throw a spear.
Wasn't there one where you gotta get in the bubble too? Platform? Yes, yes, that is the one. That is the one. And yeah, you'd have to run and get in the bubble as well.
Yeah,
and the
wind would be
pushing you. Yeah,
that one was hard for us. I don't remember who we were all running with back then.
Beck was running with us. Yeah, Pazuzu was rolling with us too.
Sorry, I didn't know his gamer tag.
you're good. The red Pazuzu, I think.
The red Pazuzu. Okay.
Not to be confused with any other Pazuzus.
Somebody's been watching The Exorcist.
Bingo, bingo.
All right, so
from Futurama.
It's probably from multiple things.
I mean, they probably stole it from something else. I don't know.
It's not where he pulled it from. We'll put it that way.
Pulled it from where now?
That's some nice words. Anyway, so we're on to segment three.
Okay, so we'll talk about quickly. We're going to start making some mount videos. It's kind of going to be in the style of a guide, which is something we really haven't done with the channel yet. But I think that'll be the best way to do those with us focusing more on the streams will be the kind of more let's play type vibe where we're all chilling and having fun together. And then the same with the podcast where we're just talking and hanging out. So I think with the mount videos, we can continue to grow our own mount collections and at the same time kind of share with people how to get some cool mounts that we like. So me and Golden and GTCo went out and we got the Magma Shell mount. So that was pretty fun. We ran into some goofiness going on there. That's what you were trying to talk about earlier, isn't it, GTCo?
Yeah, Golden went for his mount and so did somebody else.
Yeah, there was like a horde character.
Dying. Yeah.
That's right. What was it? You weren't able to initially keep yourself alive with your totems and stuff, right?
Yeah, so there's like some clipping going on. So maybe some back filler for people. The Magma Snail mount, you have to go into lava in order to, you basically have to...
it's like a 20-second cast when you're under the lava.
Yeah, it's like a cast. You're under the lava, though. Well, I was able to heal Go and Bean because I could target them from standing up above the lava on the rock. So easy heals, right? All day. But the problem is that when you get down there, the game gets confused about kind of what physical plane you're on. So when I tried to put down like a totem or I tried to put down an AoE heal, it's like it didn't register that there was ground where I was. So it would be casted
like
actually
swimming.
Yes.
Right?
So it would cast it above me.
Oh.
And so I had to like swim into the lava into the right spot where the camera made it look like I was actually in like, you know, a lava room, I guess you'd say almost.
Yeah.
And then I was able to place it on the floor and that's what let me heal myself. Plus being casted. What did you cast with your,
I had lay on hands and then I had like, some sort of, was it blood protection or something? It was a prot pally ability that like reduces your damage taken by like 30% for 12
and then
seconds.
I had to use like phase shift or something like that with my shaman. So I took 40% less damage for 12 seconds and that was enough for me to get it and then immediately die.
Yeah. Which is fine. As long as you get the mount, it's okay. If
right.
You die,
it doesn't matter. Got mount.
Yeah.
But before that, me not being fully trained on the dragon yet, spent another 5 minutes trying to make my way up the mountain.
Oh, yeah. We have to get you some more of those dragon flying tokens. I don't know. What are those called?
So he can,
the glyphs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that way he can also unlock that one ability on the skill tree with dragons that lets you, it gives you like three more reserve.
That's like the first
for your energy
too, man. Come on.
I just don't think he's gotten any of them yet.
He doesn't have it though. This is his first.
I got thrown into the mix, okay?
So he's like thrown in the deep end. And he doesn't know how to dragonfly like
that's right.
Us pros yet.
Oh, I know how to dragonfly. Don't worry about that.
There's some good guides out there that'll set it up, and that'll be helpful because I want to go do some of the crazy like secret mounts and stuff like that that require a lot of guide following. And hopefully we can make a cool video that'll help people simplify how to get that mount, because I'd love to see more people with it.
So. Yeah, that's kind of the whole idea with this, is we obviously want to grow our own mount collection, so we may as well kind of document the process and kind of share it with people. So we can do, like, you know, how to get these 10 cool mounts type videos, where we get some easier ones, and then we can do more involved ones where I know there's that, like, snapback scuttler, which is, it's like a crab mount, and I don't think there's any others in the game besides that. And that was pretty cool, but there's you have to go to, like, what is it, Nazjatar or something, and you have to do a whole shitload of achievements in that zone to get that mount. So yeah, that type of mount will be a whole, you know, 10-minute plus type of video where we all have to go figure out all that stuff.
That crab one, you also have to do weeklies on, too.
I don't know if it was weeklies, but I know there was daily stuff to where you have to, like, level up kind of like allies in the zone, but you can only do it so much per day, so you do have to do it multiple times. And then there's another one, that snail racing one we want to do. You need to have, like, 7 renown with the Loam Niffin. And then you have to, like, accept a certain quest, and then you can go talk to the guy, and then it takes, like, 2 to 3 weeks of daily snail racing to get the... It's called Big Slick in the City. It's like a purple, pinkish, kind of like crystal snail mount.
Sorry, what is it called?
Big Slick in the City. That's the name of the mount. It's a cool name, right? But oh, I think these mount videos they'll do well, and I'm kind of going to do, like, if any of you guys have watched any of my Sheikah Bean Zelda Tears of the Kingdom armor guides, where I kind of do, like, quick cinematic videos where I try and make it look cool and aesthetically pleasing, and I'll add some, like, cool lo-fi video game music, and I'll kind of concisely guide the viewer through how to obtain the armor guides. So I'm going to try and do that same kind of style for some of these mount guides.
And one side note on the magma shell, it really looks like, I can't remember the name of it now. Shellac, yeah. Really looks like the shellac mount with just a different name slapped on the front of it.
Yeah, I was actually looking at that before we started. It's the same model. It's just the eye stalks and, like, the little mandibles are black instead of yellow for that mount.
Yeah, it's a color change.
Same model, though.
So I went through and got, like, there's, like, a nightmare mount that requires you to do, like, 10 different hidden things. Like, each one's a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. One of them involving, like, a dungeon that you have no idea the layout of, like, this hidden thing, and you have to, like, build the map as you're walking through. It was a nightmare. It took me just that one step. It took me like 7 hours of just running around. I wouldn't recommend it, but I got the mount. It's really cool, except it's like the same as every other mount, except it's like purple. And I'm like, just
slightly different,
man. Like, it's cool with rare, but it's like, I don't know.
Make it something amazing worth your time.
Well, that's what the one I want to do has us getting the mind mount, which is pretty much like a giant jellyfish brain.
Yep.
And we can all, if we all do it with our own characters, all 5 of our characters can jump into the same mount, and it makes it go faster so that we can go like PvP and like
cross
war song.
That'll be cool. Yeah. That'll be fun. I think the whole mounts thing, everybody loves mounts, and everybody wants to build up their mount collection. And how many is there in the game at this point? There's like almost 1,000, isn't there?
So many.
There's a shit ton. Considering reskins and things like that, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair point.
906.
But there's some very cool, unique ones that we can kind of focus in on. So I think there's plenty of content to be made there, and it'll also be fun for us to do it anyways.
Right.
Okay, there is like 114 mounts exclusive to just Alliance. Be kind of cool to get all the Alliance stuff and then maybe go make a Horde character later on and do that during like War Within.
Oh yeah, we'll have to definitely at some point choose a server to run some Horde characters for that type of stuff that we can't really experience as Alliance. And then we can kind of have a backup guild as well. Let's see. That's the podcast, everybody. Like, comment, subscribe to help support the What's My Role crew. YouTube, TikTok, IG, Facebook. Join our Discord. Find us Murd and Alliance in retail. Join the guild, the Mythic Mafia. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you next week.